los amigos. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Happy Thanksgiving edition of the Talking Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Duke, coming to you live on Wasted Wednesdays. How we doing out there in the Twitter and iTunes and podcasting world? Episode 39 of the Talking Soccer Podcast. We got a lot to talk about today, guys. Champions League, we'll do a recap of that. We'll do some elite side dishes for Thanksgiving, a good drinking strategy for the Thanksgiving holiday, and of course, we'll do a brief EPL preview because we do have games this weekend. While most of you, deservedly so, are resting this week, not your boy Duke. I'm here for you. It's your hard-earned money for this free podcast. If you're listening on iTunes, if you are a subscriber over at elitefantasy.com, thank you so much. You can find all of my DFS work over there. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS. And for those who haven't yet, now is an excellent opportunity for you to head over to elitesportsbetting.com, where it is free, F-R-E-E-E, free until Friday evening, I believe. I'm not a big boss. I don't know the exact details. However, it's free right now. Everything that's behind the paywall is in front of the paywall. Go check it out. Go see who your favorite analysts are. We got a ton of different guys over there. We got quants. We got gamblers like myself and Tommy G. We got Night Ghost, who's on Twitch every day giving out plays. A lot of good stuff going on over there at elitesportsbetting.com. That's where all of our betting content is going on. And if you haven't seen it yet, make sure you check it out because we have a lot of new content coming out. Not only are we giving out picks daily for different sports, NBA, college football, NFL, college basketball, PGA, MMA, soccer, everything under the sun. We're also doing some daily shows that are going to go on. We have Tommy G, an MLB model, doing a lunch show, I think two or three times a week. Certainly we'll do the opening line, which I was a part of last week and will be a part of moving forward after we get through this Thanksgiving holiday every single day out there. So a lot of good stuff going on at elitesportsbetting.com. If you haven't yet, go over there and check it out now. I think some of the prices have come down for the remainder of the season. If you want to sign up for my soccer package, great idea to do so. It's a 365-day package, I believe. $100, something like that, $130. Less than $10 a month. Go check it out. But like I said, we got a lot to talk about. Champions League, Thanksgiving side dishes, drinking strategy for Thanksgiving, and an EPL preview. So let's start with the Champions League, because it is Wednesday evening. We had a crazy day of Champions League action today, but not before we got to talk about Tuesday, moving day, if you will. One game left in Champions League play after this, and let's start with Real Madrid PSG, because for me, Real Madrid are a team who were in desperate need of a change, and they got one. They brought in Zidane, right? Things weren't going as well as they had been, largely due to an aging roster. Some players like Luka Modric, which you stands, who think he deserved the Ballon d'Or, are totally off your rocker. Have fun on Mars in your new civilization, because to think he's better or had a better season than 15 different players, let alone just Lionel Messi, totally off your rocker. But anyways, besides the point, Real Madrid were in need of a giant boost of youth. And now look, this wasn't the most youthful side that I've ever seen, but in their 2-2 draw with PSG, I got to highlight Federico Valverde. I think he's like 23 years old, Uruguayan player. Absolutely 10 out of 10, maybe a 9 out of 10 game for him. Karim Benzema was the main man with his two goals to get Madrid out to an early lead. But of course, as they're prone to do, PSG kept pressing, brought on Neymar. Once again, we talked about Jose swallowing his pride and taking, or maybe you haven't talked about that. We got to talk about that later. Oh, Jose. But Thomas Tuchel swallowed his pride, said, all right, we do need Neymar in this game. We're going to get shell-shocked if we don't bring him on. Brought him on at halftime, changed the game a little bit. Not before Madrid went up 2-0, only to have Mbappe strike in the 81st. And Pablo Sarabia, with a left-footed upper 90 missile from just inside the box there. 83rd minute equalizer. Game ends 2-2. Probably a fair result looking back on it. Madrid have a ton of chances throughout the game, but PSG were right in it through in and throughout. A little bit different game Then, like I just mentioned, I thought we'd already talked about Tottenham Olympiacos. Final score 4-2. But, I mentioned the Jose Mourinho show is officially in town. He's a London boy through and throughout, loves his fancy things, and he has to be right about everything, right? Including putting his arm around a player who had formerly been outcast. That player is Eric Dier. It's a move he makes at every single stop. He comes in. He's smarter than everybody else in the entire world. I'm going to grab this player who's an also-ran, who used to be good but has been pushed out of the team because they're no longer good, and prove that they are good. All they needed was a good manager to guide them to the light. Well, for anybody with eyeballs who saw Tottenham's game this past weekend, no. Eric Dier is a farmer. He's an old man with a belly who's been drinking too much pints, too many beers, or something. He's certainly not fit. He's not a footballer. He can't play at the top level. 0 out of 10 in Tottenham's game this past weekend. What does Mourinho do? No. I made the right decision. I'm going to put him out here again in a crucial Champions League game against Olympiacos, who, by the way, bottom of the table in Group B. Not exactly the riskiest place to take a risk. If this is against Bayern Munich and he starts Eric Dier, you've gone over the line. If it's against Olympiacos and you start Eric Dier, it's a calculated risk. And Jose Mourinho is all about calculated risks. What happened? 2-0 down within the first, 20 minutes? I think the 19th minute they scored their second goal. 29th minute. Eric Dier yanked from the field. Christian Eriksen put onto the field. Put your hand up right now if you think Eric Dier is not a better player than Christian Eriksen, because I don't think anyone in their right mind, I don't think Mr. and Mrs. Dier would say that Eric Dier is a better player than Christian Eriksen. If you just thought in this game, in this scenario where Tottenham should be on the front foot pressing for goals, thought Eric Dier was a necessary player to play, not even a better play, just a necessary play. If your hand's up, you're dumb. That's how this works. 29 minutes in, a professional coach had to admit, I'm an idiot. I've got to take this guy out or this is going to get out of hand. Sure enough, Christian Eriksen goes in. Just before halftime, Dele Alli scores a goal. Just after halftime, Harry Kane scores a goal. We're now 2-2 and Tottenham are flying at home against bottom Olympiacos. Like I said, the game finished 4-2. Woohoo! Jose made the right sub. What a genius move. No, man! Jose's an egotistical bitch. He almost cost you 3 points. You were down 2-0 inside 20 minutes. Get used to this, Tottenham fans. This is Jose to a T. Could Tottenham have beat Olympiacos 4-2 from the start? Absolutely. I don't know how Olympiacos is scoring 2 goals without the presence of Eric Dier, but they should have won that game 10 times out of 10. So winning that game and making that change is not a badge of honor. It's an admission of idiocy. And look, Jose's still figuring out this roster. Give him time. I'll give you that. Jose's a good manager. Used to be a great manager. I'll give you that. But Tottenham fans, you got to be looking in the mirror going, this is going to be a long couple years, because that's how long he's going to last in London before either another job comes calling or Daniel Levy says, enough is enough, you're out. But kudos to you, Tottenham Hotspur, on your 4-2 win. Now, how about Bayern Munich? Robert Lewandowski is, I've said it before, I love an in-form forward. Give me a forward who's confident in scoring goals. And for those of you who haven't played, that's okay. But for those of you who have, especially at a high level, you go through these periods where everything you do works. A ball comes in hot. You have a defender on your back. You happen to turn your body. You open your body. The ball hits your foot. You try to trap it. It bounces a little bit too far, and all of a sudden, it's a through ball to an on-rushing, overlapping defender, and he's in on goal. What a brilliant pass you just made. Well, not really. You were just kind of under pressure and kind of trying to turn and kind of trying to tap, and then it just went in that space, and then all of a sudden, that is Robert Lewandowski in the moment. Everything he's doing is working. Every movement he makes is in the right spot. You have to play these types of players. And even at 11K, he was someone worth playing in cash, but certainly in GPP. And in a, 15-minute span. He scored 4 goals in the second half for Bayern Munich on Tuesday. Now, we're not going to go through every single game this detail. Man City, disappointing tie, 1-1 to Shakhtar. A lot of questions being asked of Pep. Financial fair play circling around. A lot of questions there. Bayer Leverkusen, 2-0 win over Moscow. Huge win there. Juventus, massive 1-0 win over Atletico Madrid. Who thought that would get the 2 goals? Not I. Galatasaray, tied 1-1 with Club Brugge. Atalanta, 2-0 win over Dinamo Zagreb. And shout out to our boy, Draft Cheat, for taking down, I think it was the $250 tournament, something like that. Won like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, something. I mean, minimal help from me. Did it mostly on his own. Really good roster build and went different. He and I were conversing before the slate, not colluding. Don't even get me started on that with all this lineup sharing BS. Just wondering, hey, what do you think ownership's going to be? Is Atalanta – who do you think Atalanta can play? Oh, Gomez is going to be a good play. He's going to take some set pieces, maybe has some open play value. Muriel's on penalty duty. Well, guess what happened? A 2-0 victory. Gomez scores a goal. Muriel buries a penalty at 0% ownership. And boom, you take down a single entry, high-stakes GPP. The key with GPPs, especially single entry, but also multi-entry, is to find lower-owned players that are likely to have good games. Just rostering a lower-owned player to roster a lower-owned player is not a plus EV strategy long-term. If you can find value that can potentially hit ceiling at low ownership or even expensive players, let's say we were talking about in the chat before the Bayern Munich game, what's the ownership for Lewandowski? As a matter of fact, one of my subs over at elitefantasy.com hit me up, hey, Duke, who's the player most likely to bag a brace? Robert Lewandowski. Who's the most likely player to go 4X? Robert Lewandowski. Guy has the highest floor, or excuse me, highest ceiling on the slate. And I did that exact same thing in the chat. You got to be thinking about these types of things when you're building GPP lineups. And that's what we talk about all the time over at elitefantasy.com. So if you're not part of that group, head on over, get subscribed. Crazy day on Tuesday, but how about Wednesday today? Well, Red Bull Salzburg, our boy Haaland, didn't get to start. Salzburg, big favorites, obviously thought they were going to win. He comes off the bench in the, 62nd minute? 7 minutes later, he gets an assist. He Chan Wang scores a goal. 87th minute, Haaland scores a goal. This dude is on fire. Jesse Marsh, obviously an American, coaching Red Bull Salzburg, doing an unbelievable job there. They spitfired Genk in the first game, took him down 4-1 here. Good victory there. Now, Liverpool-Napoli. It's Napoli, right? They're an Italian team, coached by Ancelotti. They're going to be defensive. We thought it'd be tough. Look at the first half. Napoli jumps out to a lead. Dries Mertens scores a goal. Giovanni Di Lorenzo with the assist. Basically, Napoli set up with 3 central defenders, 2 wingbacks, and then 2 central defenders. They put that block in front of goal and decided, we're going to attack with 3, 4, maybe 5 if these wingbacks get forward. But most importantly, we're going to keep this play in front of us. We're going to be very organized and make it difficult for Liverpool to score. And that's exactly what they did. And they take that 1-0 lead into halftime. Joe Gomez comes off. Jurgen Klopp puts on a little bit more of an attacking side with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain coming in. And that donkey, Dejan Lovren, bags a goal with an assist from James Milner to make it 1-1. But that fortress that they set up held. It was a 1-1 draw. I really thought Liverpool would take this home. But in the end, probably a fair result. Statistically, very one-sided. Napoli, 4 shots, 1 on target, and they score a goal. 29% of the ball. Liverpool, 71% possession. 15 shots, 5 on target. 10 corner kicks. This is soccer. This is betting on soccer. This is why I like to parlay these big favorites that should win, could win, will have a lot of the ball versus taking them outright and paying that extreme juice. Now, Barcelona also took down BVB, Mr. Borussia Dortmund, 3-1. Why Sancho didn't start is beyond me, but he didn't. Suarez and Messi combine for goals in the first half, make it 2-0 at halftime. Griezmann makes it 3-0 after he comes on for Ousmane Dembele after the 26th minute. Sancho does grab a goal late. We had Borussia Dortmund +1, disappointed not to grab at least our money back, but kind of a back-and-forth game. differentiated by the skill and quality of Lionel Messi. Now, how about Inter? Inter, bit of an enigma for me. You'd think they're super solid defensively, but here they are giving up a goal to Slavia Prague. But they do win 3-1. Lautaro Martinez, Romelu Lukaku combining to be maybe the most dangerous pairing in that group from an attacking side. The rest of the players, defend, create chances, let Lukaku and Martinez score the goals. 3-1 win there for Inter. Early game, Zenit and Olympic Lyonnais, 2-0 Zenit. We hit that under 2.5 there. Tough to play in Russia. Lyon without Memphis Depay. Lyon did grab a lot of the possession, a lot of the chances in the second half, but in the end, it was the 84th minute. Zenit scoring a goal to make it 2-0 there. Three more games left. Leipzig tied Benfica, scored in the 90th and 96th minute to make it 2-2. The odd part here is Pizzi scored a goal in the 20th minute. Obviously, but Leipzig were pressing. Benfica scores a second goal, and now you're going, well, shit, how are we going to score three goals? They managed to grab two back in extra time to tie the game. Should have been a win. Benfica, not good. Leipzig playing for first. Missed opportunity there. Valencia-Chelsea, another 2-2 game. Crazy situation here where Valencia had tons of chances early, could not finish. Finally bag a goal in the 40th minute. Just 1 minute later, Kovacic with a dribbler of a strike. It was literally a daisy cutter from outside the box, sort of near post, shoots it from the middle of the goal to the left side. His first goal in Chelsea colors. Christian Pulisic puts Chelsea ahead in the 50th minute, just after halftime, only for Danny Parejo to miss a PK in the 64th minute, then Daniel Voss to grab the equalizer in the 82nd minute. Last but not least, Ajax with the 2-0 victory, big win over at EliteSportsBetting.com. That was our two-unit bet of the day. I think it was only minus 105 when we grabbed it. Huge win there for Ajax. So overall, interesting couple days of Champions League action. Obviously, the huge thing to think about with these matchups is what each team has at stake. You have to think about specifically the English Premier League with their huge fixture congestion coming up with the winter holiday. And what takes a priority? Where is our place in the table? Are we fighting for first and second? Are we totally qualified? Is first guaranteed? Is second guaranteed? Do we have nothing left to play for? If we're Olympiacos and we're in last place, are we going balls to the wall with this game, knowing we'll probably play youth in the last game? All these things need to be taken into consideration. As always, there's no perfect system, but we have to make very educated guesses on what the game flow is going to be in each of these games. And from a DFS perspective, grab those players. And from a betting perspective, figuring out where and when we can attack these games. Super interesting heading into the last week, especially with so many things decided already from these games today and the previous games in the group play. But we'll talk about that when it comes. And before we get to EPL play, we got to talk a little Thanksgiving. It's Wednesday evening. It's Wasted Wednesdays. I'm an old man. I'm not going out tonight. I'm not getting wasted. Well, I might get wasted, but I'll do it at home with the old Prego lady, my wife. But Thanksgiving's tomorrow. And there's a couple things you need to know about Thanksgiving. Number one, it's awesome. You knew that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Number two, drinking strategy is huge. But before we get to that, this is live tweeting right now. As I have Twitter up, this is probably distracting for me and affects my performance on the podcast. MLB model just tweeted out that green bean casserole is an elite side. Green bean casserole. What the? Green bean casserole is trash. Green bean casserole is trash. I'm looking up recipes for green bean casserole right now. It's literally green beans with, what, it says jizz and then wontons on top? Green bean casserole is trash. What are elite Thanksgiving side dishes? For me, mashed potatoes are the best. Bar none. Call me basic. Call me simple. Give me a delicious mashed potato with gravy. Oh, and you got to put... So you dish out the mashed potatoes. First of all, you make the mash. You got to have the big spoon, right? You can't do a normal spoon. You got the big spoon. Take one spoon. It's being passed around the table, right? You have, what, 10, 20, 30 people at the table. Take the big spoon. You got to go top to bottom. So I'm turning my wrist. It's almost a C motion. So you start at the top and you do a C. So you're scooping and hooking. That's the best way to get the most mashed potatoes on one scoop. If you just go right in and then pick straight up, you're not getting the most. You got to go a C motion. So it's a backwards C. Now think about it. So C is right to left. It's a backwards C motion. I'm right-handed. Backwards C, mashed potatoes, boom, plop that on the table. Look, two scoops is too much. Unless you have a small group of people and you know you can get away with it, don't be two scoop guy. So that's why the backwards C is so important. So you backwards C, you scoop it on your table, or excuse me, on your plate. Don't do it on the table. That's rude. Unless you mess up this drinking strategy, which we're going to talk about here shortly. Backwards C, one scoop on the plate. Boom. You take the back of the spoon and you push it down in the middle of the potatoes. You got to have the gravy bowl. It's key. And then you got to do the gravy. You might say, Duke, you can put gravy on everything. Gravy is the ultimate side dish. Gravy is not a side dish. Gravy is an elite topping. It's an extra. You put it on top of everything. Yes, you do the spoon move, the back of the spoon, push it down on the potatoes. You grab the gravy, you push it on the potatoes, and then you go back for seconds on gravy, and you go all over everything. Turkey, stuffing, rolls, anything on your plate gets gravy. That's the elite move. But you can't say gravy is an elite side dish because it's a topping. It's not a side dish. But green bean casserole? Let me give you an idea of what's in green bean casserole. I'm looking at a recipe right now. One can Campbell's condensed cream of mushroom soup or Campbell's condensed 98 fat-free cream of mushroom soup. The hell is that? Half cup of milk, soy sauce, a dash of black pepper, which we'll get to in a second, and 4 cups of cut green beans, and 1 1/3 cups French's French fried onions. Yeah. Oh my God. People eat this? People eat this. You know what green bean casserole is? It's the number one side dish in homeless shelters across America. This is a trash side dish. This is not elite. There's nothing elite about condensed cream of mushroom soup or a half cup of milk and a little bit of soy sauce. This is like Asian fusion Thanksgiving. No thanks. There's a time and place. Get this green bean casserole off my table. Mashed potatoes, elite side dish. You know what else is elite? Stuffing. I don't know why we don't make stuffing more often. My mother makes homemade stuffing. Delicious. But what's super key to Thanksgiving? Fresh cracked black, baby. Fresh cracked black. You know in the restaurant you order that pasta, the guy comes up, Monsieur, fresh crack? Oh, yes, please. Fresh crack. Okay, yeah. Keep it going. I'll tell you when, bud. Keep it going, bud. Dude, I load that thing up. Fresh crack black, those little chunks of black pepper with a little spice. Gravy on everything. Fresh crack black on everything. And my wife loves sweet potatoes. She's a big sweet potato casserole fan. It's not like I hate casseroles, but green bean casserole, gag a maggot. Leave it to MLB model to like green bean casserole. Speaking of which, enjoy his show on elitesportsbetting.com daily, maybe 2 to 3 times a week. Him and Tommy G going at it. Lunch and Learn or something like that. It's a really good show. The first episode launched today, Wednesday. A lot of fun. Good dudes. Obviously super sharp. We have the gambler perspective of Tommy G, who watches every game and he shoots from the hip a lot of times. And then we have the analytical, the quants perspective, MLB model. A good balance for whatever type of better you are. And there's no one way to do it, right? Tommy G made an excellent point today on the first live show. Winning is great. We have to win. We want to win. That is the goal. But there's an entertainment factor to this as well. For example, today, let me pull up elitesportsbetting.com right now to give you guys an idea of how I did today and what I bet on. So you can go to elitesportsbetting.com. You go to more and then you click on daily bets under the soccer tab. We had Zenit Lyon under 2.5 for 1 unit even money. We won that. We're up 1 unit. We also had Valencia Chelsea under 3 -135 for one unit. Well, we lost that, so we're back to even. However, we've now watched two games from 12:55 on a Wednesday until 2 o'clock and sweated out two bets and had a boatload of fun and lost $0. Then in the 3 p.m. category, we had Borussia Dortmund +1. We lost that for one unit. We had Ajax to win -110. We bet two units to win 1.82. We won that, and then we parlayed Liverpool and Leipzig. Unfortunately, neither of the teams could get it done. Two ties there, but only risked a unit. So we lost 0.18 units today. We bet five different games. We were sweating out five different games, and we lost 0.18 units, which is less than 1% of your bankroll. And we had a blast doing it. So yes, we want to win. However, there is an entertainment factor to this. Would you do better without us? That's the question you need to ask yourself. The answer, almost unequivocally, is no. So sign up for our packages over at EliteSportsBetting.com. But we got to talk about drinking strategy on Thanksgiving Day. It's a huge day. It really depends on the situation you're going into. At this point, I'm at the age where one of my brothers is married, the other one is single. I have two parents. All my extended family is out of town. So our group's going to be under 15, right? We have basically 10 people there, small group. I can get hammered. It's no big deal. Let's do it. Let's get into it, right? But I'm also 36 years old. Probably need to keep it together, man. Got a kid on the way. Don't be a drunk ass. Strategy is involved. Now, if you're in a big group, if you live around all of your family, it's a huge extended party, you cannot be the drunkest guy at that party. So it's very important to have a strategy, because if you're in that huge group, you're going to have to drink. Let's be honest. Aunt and uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, a lot of noise, a lot of people talking, a lot of opinions. You're going to have to drink. So here's the strategy. And here's how I do it. I don't know if this is the perfect way to do it. If you have a different way to do it, hit me up on Twitter at DukeDFS. But what I do, I wake up, I don't set an alarm. First of all, I do not set an alarm. I make no promises when I'm going to get to the house. Tomorrow, for example, I have an 11 a.m. cutoff time when I have to be there. We'll probably get there somewhere before then, but I'm not setting an alarm. If I wake up at 8, great. If I wake up at 6, which is more likely, great. Do I start drinking right away? Nope. Let's get up, maybe do a little workout, do a little shower, a little breakfast, maybe a little coffee to get the day started, maybe knock the cobwebs out from Wednesday, wasted Wednesdays, and then we go bloody. You got to go bloody. And what I recommend is that you have your girlfriend or wife drive to the event. Ideally, if you can get your girlfriend or wife pregnant, like I've done, like an expert, even better, because now we have a DD, boys and girls. But you start with a bloody. Make it spicy, because it's going to be a long day. You want to get that day started off with a kick. So a little bit of vodka, a little bit of Zing Zang, don't go tomato juice, amateur hour, a little bit of Worcestershire, a little bit of hot sauce, a little bit of celery salt, throw some olives in there, a little pickle juice, shake it up a couple times, start with that. Don't chug it. Drink it slowly. Then when you get to the event, be cordial, whatever they have. What's everybody else drinking? Is everybody else drinking? Survey the room. If no one's drinking, be the first one to grab a drink. Get the party started. Everyone likes that guy. Everyone's waiting on you to grab a drink. If it's a beer, go nuts. If everyone's drinking Bloody Marys, grab one. Don't drink two Bloody Marys. That's too many. One and a half max Bloody Marys you can have. And then you switch to beer. And here's why. Football starts at 1 p.m. You are setting your lineups from probably, 11:30 to 1? But you're in a social setting, so you can't be doing just that. So grab a beer. Probably 2 to 3 beers. So now, by the time 1 p.m. games kick off, you've had a Bloody Mary and 1 to 2 beers. You're sitting pretty. You're in that sweet spot. If you were hungover from the last night before, you're probably feeling a little bit of shampoo effect. You're starting to feel pretty good about yourself. You're talking to Uncle Donnie. Yeah, man, tell me more about your tire shop. Super cool. Then the 1 p.m. games kick off. Continue to slowly drink beers, because what we're working towards is that 4 p.m. game kickoff nap. Let's say the 1 p.m. games didn't go your way. You got to set some lineups for the late games. Get those lineups set. Find a recliner. Kick back. Nap. And here's why. This is huge. And you have to know Thanksgiving kickoff. When does Thanksgiving dinner happen? When did the bird go in? When do we think we're going to sit down and plan accordingly? This timeline is adjustable forward and backwards. For my timeline, this is a 5 p.m. dinner. So a 4 p.m. kickoff, let's say you get a 20-minute nap, you wake up at 4:20, you got 40 minutes to get yourself pre-gamed for turkey kickoff. And this is where the key is. You might have to bring these supplies yourself. You got to go liquor. So we've gone Bloody Mary, beer, nap, and now liquor. Why liquor? Duke, why liquor? That seems a little bit aggressive for a 4:30 drink if you've been drinking for a couple of hours. No, sir, no, sir. We've just taken a nap. It's very easy to start drinking beer again and then want to take a nap. What's in turkey? Tetrahydrazine. The stuff that makes you go to sleep. We don't want to do that. We got to get hyped up. We're not going Red Bull vodkas. We're going transfusions. What's in a transfusion? Vodka, ginger ale, a splash of grape juice. Mix that baby up. It's going to get you peak condition for Thanksgiving dinner. Now you can talk about politics. Who knows what, right? Go nuts at Thanksgiving dinner. Then after that, everyone's so drunk, who gives a crap? Start drinking the red wine, the white wine, do some after dinner bourbon. Go nuts, because at that point, you've done your part. You haven't been the drunkest guy at the party, and you've had a good time start to finish. Not only that, you got a good nap in. So if you head in and got some buddies that are in town who didn't have family, you got someone to hang out with afterwards. And that, my friends, is Duke's plan for drinking throughout Thanksgiving. You're welcome. Now that we got that established, should we do a little EPL preview? And we will keep this brief, because I do have my article coming out on Thanksgiving Day, the back of the net article that talks about not only Vegas lines, but game thoughts, game flow, who I think's going to win, and then those DFS plays that we're looking to target come Saturday morning. And I did confirm with DraftKings prior to this taping, the 12:30 game will be included on the main slate. I don't know if that's known industry-wide, but we have 4 10 a.m. games and 1 12:30 game. It will be a 5-game slate for that main slate. So we kick it off. We have Burnley at home versus Crystal Palace. Burnley plus 130, Crystal Palace plus 230, 2.5 total, plus 125 on the over, minus 155 on the under. Next game, Chelsea minus 350 at home hosting West Ham, who are in shambles, plus 850 on the road, 3.5 total, plus 110 on the over, minus 130 on the under. Liverpool hosting Brighton, Liverpool minus 500, Brighton plus 1400. 3 total, minus 140 on the over, plus 115 on the under. Tottenham, minus 260 hosting Bournemouth. 3 total, minus 125 on the over, plus 105 on the under. And that 12:30 afternoon hammer, the bottom dwellers. Southampton, plus 115. Watford, plus 250. 2.5 total, minus 105 on the over, minus 115 on the under. So let's take this game by game. And let's talk about Burnley Crystal Palace. Look, we had a great week last week, but my biggest regret is not putting Burnley in the betting package. They were away, yes, but it was freaking Watford. I knew Burnley were going to win, and for whatever reason, I didn't have the cojones to put Burnley in the betting pack, so I feel bad about that. But a great 3-0 win for Sean Dyche and his boys. Great response to the 3-0 win at home versus West Ham. Back-to-back games with 3 goals from Burnley? Yeah, they could never. What, Burnley? 3 goals, back-to-back games. And you guys know my affinity for in-form forwards. Chris Wood, Ashley Barnes, both scored in back-to-back games. They kept clean sheets in back-to-back games. There's a lot of momentum on the side of Burnley. They've dominated the bottom half, too. 1-0, 3-0, 2-0, and 3-0 wins give them a perfect record and 9 goals, 4, and 0 against the bottom half. So, for me, this is all Burnley. Let's move on to game number 2. Chelsea, West Ham. What the hell is going on in London? I talked about West Ham are in free fall. They are trash, man. Trash. Their last win, September 22nd. Think about that. It's freaking December. It's Thanksgiving. Their issues are on the defensive side of the ball, too. Their last clean sheet, 2-0 win versus United on, you guessed it, September 22nd. In fact, they've only had one game they've won all year where they've conceded a goal, and that was Watford back in late August, when Watford were off to the worst start in the history of EPL. So, is Manuel Pellegrini on the hot seat? Because he should be. I never really thought about it. Manuel Pellegrini, how could they do better than him? He's won the Premier League with Man City. Hell of a manager. They have far too much talent on the squad to be squandering this season. They're next to Norwich, for God's sakes. They're in, what, 17th place, I think? Their road form has been dreadful. They have one win, two losses, and three draws. Their one win was against Watford. Chelsea, banner year for them. We just talked about their 2-2 draw with Valencia. But in the Premier League, their only loss has come against Liverpool in a close 2-1 match at home. So on paper, this should be a cut and dry game. West Ham, trash away. Chelsea are good at home. But from a matchup standpoint, the form has to go to Chelsea. But their scoring is down at home compared to the scoring away. Just 1.5 goals per game. Just below the league average at home. They're conceding less than a goal. That's a good thing. And they're taking 1.83 goals per game. So essentially, they're not giving up any goals. So they don't have to score a bunch of goals. They're still getting results. I like Chelsea to win that game. Now, how about Liverpool-Brighton? The risk here is rotation and fixture congestion. Liverpool opened up a monster lead in the title race. And like anyone, these players are human. They will see the table. They will see their opponent struggling against Man United and Leicester and assume this is 3 points done and dusted, right? Well, it should be, but let's not assume. Let's dig in. Brighton, they sit 12th in the table at the moment. And against teams ranked 10th or lower, Liverpool are a perfect 6-0-0 with 15 goals for and 6 goals conceded. Interestingly, they've conceded at least a goal in each of the matches. As much as we assume that Liverpool are a great defensive team, they do concede goals. They only have 2 Premier League clean sheets all season. I found that a bit surprising. So, Brighton, can they score? Well, the odds would say, history would say, sure, they can score. Can they win? Well, they've only taken a single point off any top team, or any top 6 team this season. To further the point, they've scored 0 goals against the top 6 teams this season. 0-2 loss to Leicester. That was at home. 0-4 loss to City. That was away. 0-2 loss to Chelsea. That was away as well. 0 goals scored. 8 goals against the top 6. So will Liverpool win? Yes. Will they keep the clean sheet? Meh. Let's wait for team news before we make any rash decisions there. Now, how about Tottenham Bournemouth? Jose. Look. I'm going to save my big breakdown for the article over on elitefantasy.com of this game because I think it's a really crucial game on the slate. All I will say is Jose's ego will play a major part in this game and affect the outcome. I have about 600 words on this game in my article over on elitefantasy.com. If you want to know more, check that out. Last but not least, the 12:30, the afternoon hammer, the game we usually want to grab a piece of, but now it's Southampton Watford. What the hell are we going to do? We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. And if not for Arsenal blowing it against Southampton last year, our subscribers over at EliteSportsBetting.com would be up another 5.4 units because they crushed 2 parlays that I had them in. But Southampton seemed to be the better team. Watford do have some talent. Neither of these teams can really score goals. Arsenal were sick to give up 2 last week. Once again, more in-depth breakdown over on EliteFantasy.com. And look, this is running long. It's Thanksgiving Day. I appreciate you guys checking in. And for those who subscribe over at EliteFantasy.com, Dr. Shane, I think that means thank you. Maybe not. Who knows? And over at EliteSportsBetting.com, go check it out right now because it's F-R-E-E free, baby. No excuse not to. Sign up for the season-long package. I recommend the VIP package. That gives you access to the entire site. And one thing you won't get for free in the next couple days is access to the chat room, which a lot of our guys are super active in, and giving you live plays and sweating out the plays with you over there on EliteSportsBetting.com. But that's it. That's episode 39 of the Talking Soccer Podcast here on a Wasted Wednesday before Thanksgiving feast. Do not forget that drinking model that I've set up for you. It's been patented. You might want to copy it and claim it as your own. These are just the plays that I'm giving you. How you choose to use them, totally up to you. We'll see you guys next week on the Talking Soccer Podcast. Adios!